Good evening. Today is Monday, May the 20th, and we are studying the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. This week's chapter is How It Works, Step 5. And our speaker tonight is Craig F. from Oklahoma. Thank you, Craig. Please share with us.
Okay, catch my breath here. This is Craig F., and I'm recovered and live in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And I appreciate being asked to speak. My first sponsor told me that I never had the right to turn that down, that it was always my responsibility to share my experience, strength, and hope whenever I was asked. And so that's what I do. I've been in Overeaters Anonymous 33 years last March. I wish I could say I had 33 years of abstinence, but that's a different story. Like many of us, I slipped and slided for a lot of years, trying to work my own will, my own way, and never getting truly honest or getting truly down to causes and conditions. But I entered, excuse me, I entered the program the same, well, my second meeting was the day that my, of course, now ex-wife had asked. My disease. And, some of it was, some of it wasn't, but, nonetheless, it was a big factor. And I'd gone to see a counselor, and the counselor listened to me for an hour. We were living in Arizona at the time, and in Arizona, in order to get divorced, if you had minor children, and our youngest son was still a minor, you had to show that you had tried to save the marriage. And so we'd gone to counseling separately. Her counselor gave her the tried worked on giving her the courage to leave, I think based on her own issues. But the counselor I saw listened to me for an hour, and at the end of the hour he said to me, so what I think you ought to do is go to Overeaters Anonymous. And he said, go for a year, and at the end of the year, if you're ready to be honest with me, then come back and maybe we can do you some good. The guy was 20 years sober in AA. And he saw through my BS, like, immediately. And I wanted to hit him, but I knew he was right. And so I went. I went to a meeting, and then I'd been to one meeting, and I went to a second meeting, and I got a sponsor that night, and I started to work the steps. Now, I've always been a kind of an overachiever, not great follow through, but if I had a task to do, at work or at school or whatever, I always had attacked it with great energy and gonna get it done faster than anybody else ever got it done and better than anybody else ever got it done. And I know now that it was all based in my low self-esteem that I needed to prove myself so that you didn't know how insecure and how incompetent I may be on the inside. So I went to that meeting, got the sponsor. We worked out a food plan. We worked out my allergic foods, and it all was sounding good. I was weighing 410 pounds at the time. And he said we were going to start working the steps, and I knew there were 12 steps, and I'd seen them on the wall. And I said, "So there's 12 steps." I said, "How long is this going to take? Is that 12 hours, 12 days, 12 weeks, 12 months? How long is it going to take to do these? Because I'm in a hurry to get done, and I want to beat the record anyway." And so he laughed at me and said, "We're just going to do them one at a time." Now, today, my sponsor today would say 12 days. He'd say, "We're going to get this done in 12 days if you'll do it." Thank God that I had a different approach then, because that that would have lit me up. And so he gave me the Westminster questions to work the first three steps, which are 32 questions that you answered. And I mean, I did those in a few days. I sat down and I worked through them as best I could, and you know, trying to set the world's record. And then we got to the fourth step, and I didn't understand. Nobody had explained it to me. You know, I didn't understand what I was supposed to be doing. And it sounded to me like I was supposed to make this immoral inventory, this inventory of everything I'd done wrong in my life. And I did that. And then we had made an appointment to do the fifth step. And I came to that appointment and I shared with him what I had. And he said, that's not what we're supposed to be doing. And of course, what I heard in my low self-esteem was, I didn't do a good job. I'm not good enough, you know? And it was hard to get a hold of the idea that what I was supposed to have done was to make this searching and fearless moral inventory of myself. And if I'd followed the big book, that I would have known that I was supposed to list my fears and my resentments and my fears and my sex harms and, you know, one by one, and got around to the fourth and fifth columns, which was to say what I did to put it in motion, what I did to what my part in these things were. And, but I hadn't done that. And so I had this list of every time I had, lied, cheated or stole. And it wasn't what he was looking for. Shortly after that, that sponsor relapsed, and I got a female sponsor because that was all that was available to me. And all she was interested in was having me commit my food. And I was losing weight quick. I'm, 15 pounds a month. I was eating a pretty tight food plan, and I was going to the gym lifting weights every day. I was 39 years old, and at that age and that kind of activity, the weight was just piling off of me. And that first year, I went from 410 down to 260 in 10 months, and was feeling pretty good about myself. And you know, I'm 6'4", and or I was. I've shrunk a little in my old age, but that fact that I was successful losing the weight took my mind off, diverted me from the idea that this is a spiritual program. It diverted me from the idea that I needed to be doing the steps as the book lays them out, and that's the sign of real recovery. It's not how quick the weight comes off. But I hadn't seen that. I hadn't heard it. I didn't want to hear it. What I wanted to hear was, how do I get, I'm now divorced and I'm 39, 40 years old, and I'm wanting to know how to get the weight off so I can find the next right Mrs. Fisher and, you know, settle back down into some semblance of a married life and, or whatever. And, knew that I had to get better looking, you know? And so I spent, I went through a lot of different sponsors over the years. I would spin out all the time. What was spinning me out was there were certain things I didn't want to confess to. There were certain things I didn't want to, people that I knew that if I confessed to certain things, I'd have to make amends to some people. And I'd felt like they'd harm me more than I'd ever harmed them. And so I held back, you know, I held back on that fourth and fifth step. I held back on, admitting, to myself, to God, to myself and another human being, the exact nature of my wrongs. In relapse, you know, I got in a relationship. It crashed and burned. I didn't handle it well. And I moved around a couple of times. I had been sobered up in Pennsylvania, and I had moved to here, and then I'd moved to Vegas, and then I moved back, and actually I moved to Arkansas for a while, and then I moved to Western Kansas. I do construction and a estimator, project manager, and it's easy for me to move around looking for a good location. So, but I would, I as many different sponsors as I had, I'd neatly avoided confessing to those things, being completely honest with him or myself. I had the privilege of having one of our founders as a sponsor for several years, A.G. Ainsworth. There weren't any good male sponsors here locally, and somebody had given me his number, and I thought maybe he can guide me to one. And I called him, and he took me on. But even AG didn't push me into this through the steps. You know, he mentioned it from time to time, but I was happy to just fight the food and be on my own, you know. And we did all of the sponsoring by email and text message, and it was kind of such a distant relationship that he hadn't returned my emails in a month or so, and I was starting to wonder what happened to him. And somebody said at a meeting, said, "Sorry to hear about your sponsor." And I said, "What?" They said he died, and I didn't know that. You know, that's not a good sponsor relationship, you know, if you don't even know that they passed away. But still nothing. So what finally happened to me was that my weight ballooned, and I got up to 520 pounds in relapse. And, you know, I knew it was a direct result of my failure to give it everything to this program. It was a direct result of my inability to be completely honest with myself and God and another human being. And at 520 pounds, I was still working full time, getting up and going to work. And I got up one morning and I sat down I have an easy chair in my bedroom, and I sat down in the easy chair, and I didn't have the strength in my legs to stand back up. And I struggled for a long time, a couple of hours. And finally, I thought, if I get down on the floor, I can crawl over to the bed and maybe climb up, you know, get up by using the bed. And I got down on the floor and I couldn't get up on the bed. I was too weak. And I finally called my son, he had played college football and an offensive lineman, a big guy. And I called him and asked him to come by my house and help me get up. I couldn't get off the floor. And he called his mother, and his mother called me and said, "Listen, if you're too weak to get up off the floor, you need to go to the hospital. You know, I'm hard headed." So she said, "Are you going to call or am I going to call?" And I called. So I called for an ambulance, and I told them how big I was and that I was on the floor and couldn't get up and how weak I was. And they sent six big firemen over here with a tarp, and they laid the tarp down and rolled me onto the tarp. They brought a gurney in and they picked me up. You know, the six guys picked up corners of the tarp and put me on that gurney, and they wheeled me out to an ambulance and took me to the hospital, where they told me that I had a septic infection in the lymphedema in my legs, and that they were going to have to keep me in the hospital for 3 weeks administering IV antibiotics. And I said, "Listen, I'm too important. I'm too important at work. I have an ego, and I'm too important at work. Can you just put a port in and give me the bags of antibiotics? You're supposed to hang a bag four times a day. I can do that. And, you know, can you just do that and get me out of here?" And the doctor, a nice female doctor, said to me, "You don't understand." She said, "If we don't do this right," she said, "you've got a 25% chance of dying. in the next 3 weeks. And she said, if we do it right and we beat the infection back, you've got a 40% chance that this infection will come back on you within 6 weeks, which will mean the antibiotics aren't working. And we're going to have to start taking your legs off a little bit at a time. And she said, so if I were you, I'd lay back in that bed, no matter how important you are, I'd lay back in that bed and let us take care of you. And I laid back in that bed that night and I said,
5 minutes left.
I'll hurry. Okay, thank you. I laid back in that bed that night and I said, I prayed and I said, God, I'm all in, whatever it takes, whatever I have to do, whatever I have to admit to, whatever I have to make amends for, I'm all in. Because I knew it was my refusal, my hard-headedness, my inability to do this work that had had me in the situation I was in where I was about to lose my life or my legs. And I had a spiritual experience that night. I felt the presence of God. I felt that answer to prayer. And so I spent my 3 weeks in the hospital. But while I was there, somebody gave me my new sponsors. This was 7.5 years ago. Gave me my sponsor's phone number, and I called him, and he said, "Okay, we're going through the steps." And in the 3 weeks I was in the hospital, we got through these things, got through the steps, and I was making amends by the time I got out of the hospital. And I probably would have been quicker with that had I not been in the hospital. And I did. I did everything I needed to do. I gave my fifth step to the minister from my work, from my church. And now, you know, who sits in front of a minister and admits to having affairs and admits to getting a married woman pregnant? And, you know, that's not my nature. You know, my nature would be to say, to keep it to myself, but I didn't. And so I did my fifth step and did my fourth and fifth step with him. And, I had, in doing that and getting rid of all that crap, I had the beginning of a spiritual experience. The big book says on page 75, it says, we may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. That's at the end of the fifth step before the sixth step in the big book. It's telling us that we're beginning to have a spiritual experience. And that's what I had, a beginning of a spiritual experience in that hospital bed that night. And, you know, I've been abstinent ever since. I've been, by the grace of God and the help of this program, as we say. And the fact is that I have to remind myself from time to time that it was when I accepted the fact that I needed to be completely honest and be all in, and that I had to live my life as if everything I did was going to be on the front page of the newspaper, to live my life like I knew God was watching, and that if I could do that, that I had a chance to have this relationship, have put my hand in God's hands, and to move forward and to recover. Was that my call for it's time?
No, your audio is cutting. Somebody say due to the video. So if you want to, that's great.
I'll stop the video. All right. It's a work in progress. I get to practice this every day. Now, I want to hit something else real quick, and that is what step five actually says. A lot of people, they do their step four, and they think it's a kind of a common mistake or a common conception that what we do is read our fourth step to our sponsor or to somebody else. And that's not what the book tells us to do. That's not even what the step tells us to do. Step five says we admitted to God, ourselves, and another human being the exact nature of our wrong. And the nature of our wrongs is different than saying I read a list of all the lies I told, or I read a list of all of the times I cheated or stole or whatever. We get down to causes and conditions. The book tells us to get down to causes and conditions. On page 64 of the big book, on the top paragraph, it says, so we had to get down to causes and conditions.
And next time, Craig.
All right, thank you. And so that's that wording that we admitted to God and to ourselves and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs isn't just Bill looking for a different way to say what he said in step four. I think it's actually telling us that we're supposed to consolidate all of that, look for those common causes and conditions. And for me, that's where a lot of the recovery comes from, is getting down to understand that for me, that a lot of my resentments, fears, and guilt, a lot of my actions that were not healthy were grounded in my low self-esteem, my low opinion of myself, the fact that I believed that I wasn't lovable, so I had to make you love me. And so with that, I think I should pass. I think I'm out of time. And again, I appreciate being asked to speak. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Craig. That was such an inspiring story. I really appreciate you sharing that with us. We will now open the meeting for questions or for 3-minute shares. As this is a big book study, sharing and questions should relate specifically to the chapter and step being studied this week. We ask you to accept this guideline in order to keep the meeting on track. If you'd like to share or ask a question, please raise your virtual hand, which is under reactions, or *9 if you're on the phone. I will call the raised hands in order, and the Zoom host will ask you to unmute when it's your turn. Would the timekeeper please set a timer for 3 minutes for each share and announce when time is up? If the speaker has asked a question, please allow 3 minutes for the answer. Okay, Meredith B., please share with us.
Hi, everybody. Meredith B., recovered compulsive overeater in Nashville, Tennessee. Wow, Craig, that was harrowing. Really an amazing story. It struck me when you were just talking about, you know, I have to get this weight off so I can get good looking, or, you know, I can get a suitable mate, or whatever the case may be. And it's just, I just had all these shares running through my head of people, you know, one person has shared, you know, I wanted to get to the smallest size or whatever. She's like, I got to zero. What then? Where do I go? I still wasn't satisfied, of course. Which just reminds me, it's never about the weight. Yeah, that it's secondary. Let me see. Felt like, oh, this thing when you said, I'd felt like they harmed me more than I had harmed them. And I was just talking to a fellow before the meeting about this, when one of my first times through the steps, I mean, it took me so long to get recovered because I just couldn't see my part. I couldn't get honest. I was just too focused on the wrongs that had been done to me. I was just licking my wounds for over a decade. And like you said, it was just about a failure to be honest. And really, that started with my food, of all things. Just my sponsor was such a like a beast. She just really held my feet to the fire. And I was like, geez. I mean, I thought I was honest before that, but she really made me see that it's these little things that I was just slip sliding all over the place, lying about everything, justifying everything. And if I'm going to justify an ounce of food, I mean, it's just, it's black or white, you know, it's just not honest. So, and I like that you said, I went from beliefs to experience. That's a big one too. Which just reiterates that this is a program of action. I can believe all day long on my couch, but until I'm out doing it, it's not an experience. So anyway, thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Meredith. Chanel, please share with us.
Hi, I'm Chanel T. I'm a grateful compulsive eater. I wasn't supposed to come on this meeting tonight. I wasn't supposed to get to, and I got to, and I'm so glad I got to hear you, Craig. Practical question. When you have someone who's going to do a fifth and you know it's going to be, well, I just ask you, I know that with mine, sometimes when I hear a fifth, it takes a while. What do you do for scheduling so that you know that you have enough time to hear them and you're not like, come on, what do you do? Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of times we'll set it up so that if we don't finish the first day, we kind of have a reservation for the next day or a couple days later. Because quite often there's something that comes up when they first start doing it that I'm going to ask them to go look at a little more anyway. And so we're going to need a second meeting. Somebody that's been around a while and has some experience are going to get closer on the first try. But the truth is that I have them do what I call step four and a half anyway. And that's that consolidation, that common causes and condition. Now, I give them examples of my common causes and conditions and ask them to look for the same kind of thing. And I got that idea from a guy that had sobered up at Dr. Bob's house. So I think I'm on solid ground with it. But the guy, he was a speaker at what we call the big meeting here. It's once a month on Friday night, the AA meeting. And they had this guy come in the 90s that was that had sobered up at Dr. Bob's house. And he talked about that. He said he went to his first meeting 24 hours sober, and they drug him to the back of the room. And when the meeting was over and they took out a pen and a napkin, and I'd been at that point looking for the right pen and paper for 6 months. Not that I'm a perfectionist, but they drug out a pen and a napkin and they said, "What did you do?" And he said, I lied about this, I lied about that. And they wrote liar on the napkin. And then he said, what else did you do? And he said, I stole this and I stole that and I stole this. And it went on like that. And they said, now, why did you do these things? And he said, it was the depression. And he said, I always wanted to look prosperous. And so I stole things to look prosperous. I told lies that made me look prosperous. And he said, because I'm, you know, and they got down to the cause and condition, which was his self-esteem was rooted in looking prosperous and not in the truth, not in telling the truth. And he said that when that dawned on him, when he saw that was the beginning of his recovery. And that was on a Friday, and on Saturday he was out making amends to people. And I heard that, and it took a while for me to completely understand that, but that's what I try to get my sponsees to do, is to look for those things that are in common. I lied. I lied so you'd think more of me than I think of myself. I cheated on my first wife because I thought that if that woman would sleep with me, I must not be as fat, ugly, or unlovable as I think I am.
That's
And, you
time.
know, all right.
Thank you, Craig. Thanks, Chanel, for the question. Let's see. Hang on 1 second. Okay. Mia, please share with us.
Thank you very much, Claudine, for your service. Thank you, everybody else who's doing service on the meeting. And Craig, thank you. Craig, I've been listening to you on Vision for You for I can't tell you how many years, and now I can put the face with the voice. So thank you for that. I'm really glad you were here, and thank you for your share and telling your story. Really compelling. I actually had a question. It was about the last thing that you said, and of course you just talked about it a little bit with Chanel's question. But I'm trying to like visualize, because I've done my fifth step and I really literally have, you know, gone through it, you know, with my sponsor, you know, like I did this and I said this and I blah, 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 and I blah, blah, blah. And I, you know, and I think eventually we get to categorizing, but I didn't really do it so that it was really clear cut. I don't know. I was just wondering if you could say more. I mean, you talked about, you know, lying, cheating, you know, what kind of things are in common. I don't know. Is there anything else more you can say to, you know, or is that kind of basically it? I mean, you said it's step 4.5, and I was just trying to wrap my brain around that, because it's just different. Yeah. So thank you.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, it's, you know, the book says causes and conditions. We get down to causes and conditions. And that's what we're doing. And, you know, low self-esteem can be a cause, a condition. You know, other things that can be a cause and condition are, you know, just plain selfishness, just plain inability to think of others first. You know, there's a lot of things that fall into that category. And I'm having trouble saying any of them right now, but I think it comes clearer to most people when they spend a little time studying it, when they've written out their list of resentments, harms, and resentments, fears, and harms, that it becomes clearer when they start looking for those things. And you know, it's hard to do it from 35,000 feet, but when they're right there on them, they can see them better. So that's the best I can come up with off the cuff right now.
Thank you, Craig. Thanks, Mia. Jan, please share with us. I think you're muted.
Okay, there you go. Can you hear me? Hi, Craig. Yes. Jan L. I've heard your story before, and I never get tired of it. I can relate to some parts about mine didn't get as bad, but not healing after surgeries and things that I had no idea were related to what I was eating. But anyway, my question has a lot been answered because other people ask the same thing. It has to do with this causes and conditions. I've done a lot of 4 steps with a lot of different forms that were given to me to do them. Before you ask the questions about causes and conditions, is there a certain form that you like, or do you just go by the big book script or what have you to get to the causes and conditions?
Well, I use the big book, and I use certain podcasts. Harlan has one called Taking the Mystery Out of the Fourth Step. I use those, and that gets people a long way down the road. But just talking about to people about my fifth step and about, you know, some others that I've taken and keeping it anonymous, of course, but,
yeah,
you know, giving them those kind of examples is what works the best for me, just to do it by example.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, yeah. Craig and Jan. We will now stop the recording for unrecorded questions or shares. With the Zoom host, please stop the recording.